This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Welcome to this episode of Tim Coffeen Talks IndyCar and Racing History. During each program, Tim will take you behind the scenes and share stories and memories from his long career in the world of IndyCar competition. With 7 championship rings to his credit, Tim not only understands auto racing history, he has lived it. And now, for the most famous words in racing history. Drivers, start your engines!
Hi, I'm Tim Coffeen, and we're going to talk about some IndyCar racing history tonight. And that history was Michael Andretti's 1991 CART IndyCar Championship season, of which I was fortunate to be a team member. A little background on Mike and Newman Haas Racing. Mike came to NHR at the start of the 89 season. He'd lost his ride with Krakow at the end of 1988, and Mario, his father, was driving for Newman Haas, and he got together with Paul Newman and Carl Haas, and they got with Kmart and Haviland. And they created the first father-son IndyCar racing team. Mike and Mario were teammates starting in 1989. I got hired there December 1st, 1988, and I went to work there January 2nd of 89. Tyler Alexander, he was the team manager. Legendary figure in auto racing, Tyler Alexander was one of the principals with McLaren. He started with Bruce McLaren and Teddy Mayer. And Tyler put the team together from the ground up, starting a new team for Mike. And you think about starting a racing team, Mario had a team already and had a crew there, but he had to get a semi-truck and outfit it and the pit equipment and all the stuff that it took to run a second car as a championship auto racing team. I call it the 3-2-1 method. In 1989, we had 2 wins with Mike. We had a lot of frustrating results. We blew up at Indianapolis leading the race, and that hurt. He crashed leading at the Meadowlands. That hurt too. Leading at Elkhart Lake in the fall, he ran out of fuel. He had a 30-second lead, and he ran out of fuel at the bottom of the hill. He couldn't make it up the hill to the checkered flag, and we lost that race. But we ended up 3rd in the points, and it was a learning process, so to speak. For 1990, we had 5 wins and 5 poles with Mike. We didn't run very good at the speedway. And the next race, we ran out of fuel on the last lap leading at Milwaukee, and that one really hurt. Like I said, we won 5 races that year, and you could feel the momentum building going into the 1991 season. But the 1991 season, the start was nearly disastrous. We didn't run very good. Australia, we were leading the race, the very first race. We traveled first time to Australia, raced overseas. Mike lost his brakes and crashed with 8 laps to go, and he had a sizable lead. We went to the Long Beach Grand Prix for the next race, and he was running 2nd to Al Unser Jr., and he was racing hard with Emerson Fittipaldi. And they had a horrific crash in the pits, Fittipaldi and Mike did. Fittipaldi pulled out of his pit in front of him, and Mike ran over him, almost got upside down, basically destroyed the car. We had to go to Phoenix the next week and race there on an oval from the street course and rebuild that car. Never forget, we had boost problems in the final warm-up. We had the wastegates off the car, put them back on. Mike got the lead at the start of the race. And he led 36 laps that day, but he kept calling in saying that he was losing boost and turbo boost and losing power in the engine. Well, we lost power. He went backwards. He ended up 4th. Some people have been happy with that. Nobody was. And then we found out we'd had the wastegates off the car because of the boost problem. And one of the lines, boost lines, was left loose. And that's why he was losing the turbo pressure. And one of our guys got fired over the deal. The next race, we went to Indianapolis for the 500. And we had a decent month of May, led half the race, 100 laps, got a flat during the race and had to come in. Indianapolis in those days, the cars held 40 gallons of fuel. And at the speedway to run the fuel out under green, you had to run 32 laps. And it was about halfway through our fuel stint. He started complaining about a loose condition with the car and he slowed down 20 miles an hour. So we had to bring him in. We found out we had a cut left rear tire. That's why the car was not handling properly. We're lucky we brought him in because it was ready to come off the rim. It didn't have hardly any air left in it. We got beat at the end of the race. He was leading in, battling with Rick Mears, and Mears got around us, and we ran second. It was a real disappointment after leading the race, but we did finish second and got some points. We went on to Milwaukee and finally got a win the next race. And we went to Portland from Milwaukee, and it was one of the most magnificent starts I've ever witnessed. He started in the second row, and coming down for the green flag, he drove in between the Penske cars and was leading in turn one and never looked back. We were on a roll. You could tell it was building. We did have some DNFs that come up at Michigan 500 and Meadowlands. We had engine failures and didn't finish the races. He dominated at Toronto the next race and won. We had a third place at Denver, got more points. We were chasing Bobby Rahal for the championship, and we got back in contention. And then Mike Andretti, I mean, he was above and beyond the next three races. In those days, the kart championship paid 20 points for a win and 1 point for leading the most laps in a race and 1 point for the pole position for the fastest qualifier. So a perfect weekend, you could accumulate 22 points. On three races, Vancouver, Mid Ohio, and Elkhart Lake, Mike and the team, we got 65 of 66 points. And it put us right there with Bobby Rahal racing for the championship. Two races to go. One of the biggest things I think that helped us win that championship that year, the previous 2 years at Nazareth, Pennsylvania, we had very poor showings. It was very disappointing. And I think in 1989, our first year, I think Mike got lapped four times in a 200-lap race, and that just didn't. The next year, I think we were two laps behind, and we even got lapped in the Marlboro Challenge at Nazareth in 90. So we went and we had a test at Nazareth, which was going to be key to winning the championship. And Tony Sicali, Mario's engineer, he was put in charge of the test, and he laid out the test format, the things we were going to test. Mario would test the first day, Mike would test the second day. And Lola, we got the first front wings for this test that had curlicues in them, which would funnel air into the tunnels. And Mario saw those wings and he wanted to run them really bad. And Tony Sicali told him, "No, Mario, it's on for day two. You're going to run what you test today, and Mike gets to run those tomorrow." Well, when we put that wing on the car the next day, the car started handling a lot better. And then we put what we used to call the Cascade wing on. It was a double flap rear wing, and Mike loved that wing. We ran it on both road courses and short ovals. And we started picking up time, but he called in on the radio and said the car was pushing. Tony Sicali had me and Billy Simmons standing in the pit lane, and Tony just told us, he said, "Put a half a turn in the wing. Don't shut off the motor, Mike. We're going to have some guys here to put wing in the car." We put front wing in the car. He went back out. He said, "It's better, but it's still pushing." I think it was four or five times he pulled in and we put wing in the car, and it got better and better. You could hear him carrying the throttle deeper and deeper into turn three at Nazareth. So we left that test confident when we came back that we were two races to go. Nazareth was going to be huge towards winning the championship. When we didn't win the race, Ari Leindyke won the race. They gambled on pit strategy, and they only made two stops, Rahal and Mike. Rahal beat us, but Mike led the most laps, so he got the bonus point for that, and we only lost 1 point to Rahal, which was huge going into the last race at Laguna Seca. So we went to Laguna. We won the Marlboro Challenge. Mears ran out of fuel coming down for the checkered flag, and we got lucky and won that on Saturday. And then on Sunday, Mike, he dominated the race. He led every lap. He won the pole. He led every lap. We had a perfect weekend. It was a great finish to a fantastic season. Great group of guys. Got to share it with my family, my mom, my sister Patty, my sister Tessie, my cousin Joe, my Auntie Mel, Uncle Leroy. A lot of their kids were there. And the next day after the race, my mom and my aunt and uncle got on an airplane and went to Hawaii and took a vacation. It was the end to a dream racing season. The guys that made this happen, my teammates, I want to talk about some of those guys. Ed Nathman, he was our team manager. When I got hired there in 89, we didn't get along super good at first, Ed and I didn't. But then I think he figured out I wanted to be there and race, and I saw that his heart was in the right place too, and he stood up for me a couple times on the team when we had some various issues there, and I always appreciated that. He was an engineer when I first went there, and he was also the team manager when Tyler Alexander left. So Ed had a lot of responsibility. He gave up the engineering for the championship. He was still the team manager and the race strategist in the pits for Mike. And Brian Lyles was the engineer when Mike won the championship. Ed, I remember he used to do the fuel mileage. He calculated fuel mileage with a handheld calculator in the pits, and he called the race on the radio to Mike. He was a pretty smart guy. Ed was didn't always agree with him, but he was an honest guy, and his door was always to his office was always open, and I felt he always stood up for the crew. I mean, he understood it was a lot of work, and he was there for the guys. He was a huge part of our success. Tom Wirtz was our chief mechanic. Tom was a native of Chicago. He was a sports car mechanic. Tom was a Vietnam veteran. He was a really hard worker. He led by example, and he changed the outside front tire. Trevor Weston. Trevor was a native of New Zealand. As a young kid, he was an apprentice mechanic. And he was a fantastic mechanic. He worked at Lotus in 1978 when Mario won the world championship in Formula One. And he came to us and became our gearbox man, and he fueled during pit stops. Never met anybody quite like Trevor Weston. He was quite a character. Him and I were roommates for 6 years up there, sharing an apartment together. And Trev loved to win races and enjoy a couple of cold beers afterwards. Ray Sorensen. Ray was from local kid from Lake Forest, Illinois. He raced sports cars, and he worked on Walter Payton's sports car team. Ray came the previous year in 1990, was the first year of the team, but he worked on the test team. And then he came over to work on Mike's car at the start of 91. He fit right in. I remember the first time he ever changed a tire in competition was in the Indianapolis 500. And he was really nervous, but he did a great job. And to this day, he's a very good friend of mine. Lynn Ostergaard. Lynn was from Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. That was also his first year with the team. Lynn raced sports cars when he was younger. He worked in Formula One for Cooper Sucre for the Fittipaldis. And Lynn was an excellent mechanic. Lynn brought a quiet strength to our team. He stayed in the background. He was a quiet guy, but he was an excellent mechanic, and he was vital to our success. Kenny Seawick, he was a Milwaukee noted. And him and I, we started at the same time at Newman Haas together. He started out as a transporter driver, and he eventually became an assistant team manager there. Kenny was a vent and air jack guy on Mike's car. Don Texter, he was a transport driver also. He was responsible for the tires there. He took care of all that. He changed the inside rear in the pit stops. When I think of Don, I always think about Elkhart. The Elkhart race. It was a critical race getting down towards the end of the year, and Mike Andretti was battling Al Unser for the lead. And we came in for our first pit stop, and the engine died coming in on the way in. We came in dead stick. Well, the guys did their jobs. We changed the tire, put fuel in the car, and I looked up, and Tex had the starter. He went over and got the starter off the wall and started the engine up before the fuelers were done. We never lost the lead. Tex is a good teammate. Davey Evans was the longest Carl Haas employee. He came to the United States in 1971 when Carl Haas ran Jackie Stewart in the L&M Lola and the Can-Am Series. He was in charge of our engine department, assistant race strategist. Davey would do anything to help the racing team. I've called him the public conscience of Newman Haas Racing. No matter whether a guy needed a pat on the back or a kick in the ass, Davey was there. He was a great friend, one of the best teammates I ever had. Mario's guys, we're going to talk about them. Carl Dean, John Tazonikas, John Billy Simmons, Jimmy Vellini, Brian Ferguson, Donnie Hubble. Colin Duff was a shop foreman, overall crew chief. He was Mario's vent and air jack guy. We were a team through and through. They were great guys to work with. And, you know, we all won together. Carl Bergeron ran our parts department. He was in charge of the shop when we were on the road. Carl's a real team player. He was a racer. And this is a longtime friend. On the front office, we had Marsha Meyer, Sharon Zeke, and Leo Pavlotis. They ran the front office, did an outstanding job, and took great care of our crew. Peter and Mary Lynn Murphy, they ran the hospitality center on the road. They took great care of us when we were on the road. Words about our owner, Carl Haas. Carl was great to work for and very loyal to his people. He gave us what we needed to win. He just expected us to win, and you can't ask for Carl's an interesting guy. I remember at Indianapolis in 91. We qualified fifth, but we weren't super fast. And we didn't run that good in 1990 at the Speedway, I didn't think, with Mike. He never led the race. We lost a wheel bearing about 140 laps, and he was second or third. But I thought he, you know, Mike, if you give him the horse to ride, he's going to be up front. And, anyway, we put the race car together for the way we used to do it was qualify and use a spare car the second week at Indy for full fuel testing and everything, put the race car back together, and then run it on Saturday, the third day of qualifying. Those days they had 4 days. We'd run the race car on Saturday with some fuel in it just to make sure it was ready for carburation day before the race. Well, Carl walks in the garage when we're getting ready to put the car on the scales, and he had a setup sheet in his hand. And rumor has it he won it in a backgammon game with Doug Shearson, who was the owner of the year's previous winner. Well, Carl said, "I've got Line Dyke's setup sheet from last year." Ed Nathman, the team manager, says, "Let me take a look at that." He called Brian Lyles, our engineer, over and said, "Well, look, the springs are different. The toes are different. Camber's a little different. It won't hurt to try it. It won last year." So we made some adjustments. We went out, and this Saturday we ran the next day and put 25 gallons of fuel in it, which is a lot more than you have in when you qualify. And we went as fast as we did qualifying. So, like I said, Carl was in our corner. He'd give you what it took to win. He was a very kind man. Paul Newman, he was very supportive of the team. I mean, there was times he'd show up unannounced at test just to check on how things were going. He loved racing. He really supported us. Bernie and Carl were a great team. Bernie was very cool and collected. She was a calming influence. I think she was a great partner for Carl. She helped make a lot of key decisions. She was very kind to the crew. I really enjoyed working for him. Upon reflection, Michael Andretti in 1991, he was one magnificent race car driver. He had 8 wins in the Marlboro Challenge. He won 8 pole positions. He led nearly 1,000 laps. Al Unser Jr. was the second laps led, and he had a little over 200. So he was incredible at starting races. The thing about Mike that I always enjoyed was there was times that him and I didn't speak very much on the course of a weekend. I was working on the car and he was driving it. But I knew when he got in the car on Sunday and got strapped in, he was going to give it all back to you. He was going to drive the wheels off that thing. And when you're a racing mechanic, that's all you can ask for. It was 1991 for me was it just after all the years I'd hung around racing and came to Newman Haas wanting to win and to win a championship. I'll never forget Mike. He went on that ESPN show, that Thursday night program. I think it was Thursday Night Thunder. And I asked him after we won the championship, they said, would you trade this for an Indy 500 win? And Mike said, no way. He says, this is winning a championship is the hardest thing to do. And I totally agree with him. It was a great year in my life. I treasure the people that I worked with. And I'll never forget that year. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention maybe the reason this whole deal happened, and that was Mario Andretti. Carl and Paul may have never gotten together if it hadn't been for him, because he was at the forefront of Newman Haas when it began, and he opened up a seat for his son, which made the opportunity for all of us. And the one thing I learned from Mario, he was our teammate, but technologically, Mario was always pushing the envelope. He was at the forefront. He was looking for the unfair advantage when it came to technology. And Mario Andretti, to me, it was such a pleasure for me to be able to work with him and his son. It was an honor. And an international racing legend and a gentleman. For me to be able to be on that team with him as a It's a life-fulfilling experience, and all I can say is thanks, Mario. I will I'll just say that thanks for listening, and we'll have another one here coming up. Hope you're I just enjoy doing this. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you later.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.